Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 11th day of January 2024. I'm absolutely thrilled to have on the program a returning guest, and he is a very important guest to which you should pay serious attention. His name is Dr. Ernie J. Zara III, and we are going to be discussing his new book, Understanding Radicalism, How It Affects What's Happening in Education and Its Impact on Students. Dr. Zara is an education consultant. He's a member of the National Association of Scholars and the author of numerous books, including the book we are addressing today. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Ernie Zara.
Well, thank you, Chris. What a pleasure to be back with you again. I see that it wasn't too frightening the last time, so a return visit is wonderful on my end. And thank you so much for opening the door to this topic. It's very important, very critical to address and discuss this issue during these current times. We live in very precarious times, and I'm anxious to talk about those times with you today.
Amen. And let me set the stage here by describing your book, Understanding Radicalism, How It Affects What's Happening in Education and Students. Overall, examines and explores the ever-growing trend to use education outside groups and social media as agencies of indoctrination and moral suasion to capture the imaginations, thus prompting students to question their own racial and gender identities. Let me read some of the powerful endorsements that you have received. First of all, Wes Carpenter, who's a friend of mine, author of Woke Religion, Unmasking the False Gospel of Social Justice. He says that your book is a well-known, well, he says about your book, it is a well-known fact that public education in America has been sowing the seeds of secularization for over half a century. In recent years, the intolerant fruit of radical progressive ideologies is being reaped in public schools. Unsurprisingly, this has led to many who hold to traditional Christian values to homeschool and private education. Dr. Zara brilliantly exposes the harmful secular indoctrination and woke ideology that is radicalizing public schools and grooming children across America. This impressive work underscores the desperate need for truth in education. Dr. Zara rightly appeals to wisdom in the pages of this book to address the challenges. It is a fight that requires us to heed the warning of Scripture that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ, a quote from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. This is a battle for the young people in America, and I dare say a battle for the souls of this generation that is worth fighting. I'm grateful to have this tremendous resource. Also, my dear friend Stephen Schultz, headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York, who has invited my guest to speak at their next annual fundraising gala for Grace Christian Academy in Long Island. It's going to be held at the Coral House, and we'll give you more details on that, the Coral House in Baldwin, Long Island. Dr. Zara's book, Understanding Radicalism and Its Message, needs to be disseminated, I'm sorry, from the rooftops. The landscape of American academia has certainly been decaying for quite some time now, but it has accelerated in recent years due to movements that certainly do not have the intellect of our youths as their highest concern. As a leader in education who is regularly making efforts to convince parents of the horrific content and strategies of progressive education, this book provides me with the lexicon necessary to effectively communicate its particulars and support my claims with extensive citation. Dr. Zara's book will serve me as an encyclopedia, dictionary, expose, and training manual when engaging both skeptics and opponents in this ongoing academic battle. My dear friend, Dr. Joel R. Beakey, president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who's also my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon speaker this June the 6th in Perry County, Pennsylvania, and I'll be announcing that later as well. But Dr. Beakey says, understanding radicalism is a sober warning that many educational institutions today work to radicalize students to overthrow the foundations of Western society. Dr. Zara rightly argues that a generation is being trained to blindly and zealously follow an ideology that can only be described as divisive and destructive. This is a wake-up call to parents, civic leaders, and all citizens who care for the future of our nation. And finally, my friend Kirk Wellum, who is the principal at Toronto Baptist Seminary, Dr. Zara articulates the concerns of many Christians, not only in the United States, but throughout the Western world in different ways. This book demonstrates that spiritually we live in a Romans 1 world, which is determined to go its own way. His work should be a call above all else to prayer and informed gospel resistance by those who want to see God glorified and human beings flourish in all areas of their lives. Well, those are very powerful words by some people whose words should be taken seriously. And Dr. Zara, what is some of the things that you would like to address today that you detail in your book that many parents may be still, even at this point, oblivious to, or they might not have the depth of knowledge and awareness that they should have about these things, because they're sending their children to government schools, and they are being kept in the dark, perhaps even by the teachers themselves, specifically and purposefully, about some of this.
That's correct, Chris. Yeah, and thank you so much for reading those wonderful endorsements. I was so blessed to read those and to find out that they're connecting with the larger population of the Christendom, and from all different perspectives, education and the pastoral and seminary areas. I think it's just so marvelous. So thank you for reading those, Chris. I'm blessed. Well, I think, you know, to begin with, we need to take a look at, you know, what is indoctrination, first of all, because if parents think something's happening, and we're going to take a look at the word indoctrination in a moment. If parents think something's happening and they can't pinpoint exactly what it is, well, there has to be some kind of terminology, hiccup possibly there in the mix, because most parents don't know the difference between when their children memorize Bible verses at church in doctrine and when they're getting things at school. They just know it doesn't feel the same way. So let me give you a couple definitions here of indoctrination. To imbue with a usually partisan or sectarian opinion, point of view, or principle. And there's nothing wrong with that. We send our children to Christian schools, classical Christian schools. We homeschool our kids. We send them to public schools. They're getting partisan, sectarian opinions, points of views, and principles in all of those. Okay, the question is, which of those is hurtful, which of those is helpful? Secondly, if you teach someone to fully accept only ideas, opinions, beliefs of a particular group, Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty, okay, of indoctrination, where we find in Christian schools the ability for children to question their belief, to question the denominational differences, to question what they've heard in the world and compared to the gospel. That's very different than what public schools will do in teaching someone to fully accept only the ideas, opinions, and beliefs of a particular group, not allowing the critical thinking to happen, which is the third point. If you are not taught to teach a person or a group to accept how to think through a set of beliefs, then you're being indoctrinated. So where parents are feeling that contrast, that rub between, you know, I get what we do at church and at home and at school, if something feels off here, I don't know what's happening with my child. Well, understand that there's something being imbued, a doctrine that is being passed on into the minds of the children, which are not allowed to think critically and question that at school. So first of all, I want to talk about that indoctrination. That's very important to get out there. I also would like to say that my book analyzes the major tenets of this movement today to radicalize students, which is what we'll get into in a little bit. Just so, for example, one of them, it includes that science must yield to emotions, which is how people can say, I'm a man when you're a woman, because I feel very different. Again, there's something feeling going on here that leads to the truth today over the facts of science. If you allow children to question those in a classroom, the risk of the person submitting the emotional argument over the facts of science is at risk for sure. The risk is that that person will look embarrassed. The person will look like they don't know what they're talking about. So you cannot allow children to question it. And if you do, then they have labels for you. And then if you do that, you have to have an assembly or have a group come in to straighten out the classroom. What you get then is additional indoctrination to break down the critical thinking that they're seeing as an to object to what's happening. And another tenet is that the cancellation of people who disagree the punishment if you dissent is termed the protection of democracy. So if you say that you are not practicing Americanism, if you dissent with someone's opinion and feelings, then the students don't know where to go with this. So what I'd like to talk about is a little bit of that, too, as I go through this. But it's quite important to take a look at, first of all, what is indoctrination? And secondly, you know, some of those major tenets that come out of the radical movement in schools today, and why students are being confused and where they're going, where they're being led, how they're being taught. And in fact, there's a lot we could talk about, you know, and rabbit trails here. So I'm going to try to keep it, you know, to the Q&A time here that you and I have together. But I want to make sure we understand, too, that the very first radical, the very first rebel, the very first sinner, the very first liar, the very first deceiver was Lucifer. Set in motion all the things that we have today that are moving toward the end times or last days or whatever you want to call it, where we have what I believe doctrines of demons being taught, emerging in our culture and coming from the ivory towers, from the minds of men and women into our schools and our children. And the younger the grade, the more they're captured. So what I see here is a definite spiritual battle taking place, not just an educational battle for the minds of children. This is not just a mental illness we're talking about here on some of the cases, some of these teachers in classrooms. This is a spiritual deprivation and sickness that's happening. And my goodness, here's a call for the church. All what I just said is probably like scary for some folks, and I understand that. But the church had better be ready to pick up the pieces of a culture gone bad when they realize and they're left in the lurch and they're decimated by the choices they've made and the lifestyles they've lived. The church had better be there with the love of Christ and the gospel to pick people up and get them restored in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Chris, this is not just in public schools, in the churches too. And I'll leave it at that. I'll let you ask me another question.
Well, I want you to get more in detail with specifics about how children are being indoctrinated, and you can even be specific about the grades with which or in which this is happening, age groups and so on. I'm assuming from what you've said, this is running the entire spectrum of education, starting even with kindergarten.
Yes, it really is. Just this week, I think it was the third or fourth or fifth or something, but just this week, the information was distributed on news channels and in newspapers and online that a teacher in Mar Vista School District, the Highline School District here, just south of Seattle, decided that during the school year, right after the break, that this teacher would no longer be known as Miss Angela. She would be Mr. Angel. Come back as a man, declare that he and him are the pronouns, dress like a man, and say that I want you to understand now that I've transitioned during the middle of the year, and sent a note home to parents and sent a non-opt-out letter to parents that they did not allow the parents to miss the sex ed or the indoctrination training as to why gender, you know, theory is important and why his transition is important for the school and community, and wanted the support. They read books to validate that in the classroom. This is a fourth grade classroom we're talking about here in the south of Seattle. And that's not just unique here. I mean, we have these things happening all over the country. So the point here is, here's how you know this person's an activist and a radical. He could have waited, or she could have waited, to the end of the school year to do this. Why mid-year? Well, because standing up mid-year gets a lot of attention and allows students now to come out and say, you know, I feel the same way. I may be a girl, I may be a boy, whatever, and then move forward toward that. There are students who hear testimonials from teachers and testimonials from LGBTQ groups that come into the classroom. And they talk about how they did the transition part or how they discovered they were this sexuality or whatever. And afterwards, students go up to the principals and say, you know, I like to declare that I'm this or that. I like to come out as this or that or he or she. And so what we're having here is the indoctrination is occurring, but the activism is making disciples of the indoctrinators. And isn't that what testimonies do for the Christian faith as well? The parallel here is, when you share your faith and the radical change of your life in Jesus Christ, others hear that. And that may be quite attractive for them to step out and say, I'd like that same relationship you have. So the same thing that we have on the Christian side, the angel of light is doing on the other side. And it's, they're both spiritual, in my estimation, they're both spiritual battles. And when you find your true self on the gender spectrum or your true self sexually in a school as a fourth grader, something's awry. You're just not ready to make that declaration. Something has convinced a child, and that's the indoctrination and then the validation by bringing in textbooks or guest speakers and in the community and the principal and other teachers are validating it. So therefore the students go along with it as if it's part of their education. But I've got news for parents. Indoctrination is not education. I want to say that again. Indoctrination is not education. But that's what the public schools, and not everyone, okay, Chris? I don't want to indict every single public school teacher, every public school out there. But what I'm saying here is, as a general rule, if you're being indoctrinated, you're not being educated. You're being pressed toward an activist role somewhere, somehow, for someone's opinion, and not allowed to criticize it. So that's something as an example, you know, from fourth grade. We have books being read all the way down to the kindergarten level. They're showing pictures and they're showing, very graphic, detailed images of sexuality and sexual practices and discussing things in terms that you probably would have, 25 years ago, your face slapped by your mom or dad if you mentioned some of those. But something's changed. Something's very changed. I began to notice these changes in ideology in the classroom. I worked with Gen Z, and I worked with Gen Z teaching them in teacher education programs. And I began to notice that the students came with an idea that school was a place to be an activist and not an educator.
By the way, can you remind me of what age group Gen Z is? Because all that jargon is new to me.
Yeah.
I always forget. Sure. I always get them mixed up.
Sure. If you are, oh, let's say you're in the, if you're in your 20s and you are somewhere anywhere between, let's say 8 and 20, in that range. I mean, it's not exact. They overlap also with others, with another generation, but with, you know, but yeah, 8 to 20, I mean, and the 25-year-olds are Gen Z as well. They've come out of the Gen Z age. So what's going on now is we have teachers in classrooms who are in their early to mid-20s, okay? And these are Gen Z folks coming out of the ivory tower teacher training institutions who have been socially radicalized in terms of social justice programs, DEI programs, racial and anti-racist programs, sex and gender spectrum programs, and their sociology, anthropology, and psychology classes are all about those things, including trauma-informed instruction, where, you know, people come to classrooms with certain trauma from home, and we have to understand that some of the trauma is because they're coming out as something other than what they were born as. And so, you know, that age group has a lot of particular problems, and the millennials and Gen Z are called the therapy generation for a reason. And there's a lot of antisocial behavior within the group. They're number one, you know, in terms of social media use and influencers in that respect. So if you have a child today in public school, consider the child Gen Z. Now, Gen Zoomers, you know, there's another generation coming right after that. But I would consider any child in school today, elementary, junior high, high school or college, I would consider them part of the Gen Z overlap. But, you know, there's something taking place today in that generation that is very concerning to me. As I said before, I work with teachers and training them. I noticed that they became more tuned to who they were as people in their identity than they were as being selfless as teachers. You know, my generation was taught, teach yourself silly, burn out every day, go home and fill your battery back up and go come back next day and do it again. Well, yeah, these folks today are more in line with wanting to influence behaviors and changes and connect emotionally through content than they are connect cognitively through that content. And so there's the emotional, deep emotional connection, and the social emotional learning programs that are rampant in schools have something to do with that as well. If you teach to the emotion, don't be surprised you get what you teach to. And so when students are online, let's say, and they're connecting with social influencers, there's a reason they're connecting. There's something that's an emotional connection with them. And so it's so easy today to go online to find somebody like me in a group like I want to belong to and feel like I'm validated. Social media has made that exchange of my identity from one to the other just as quick as I can say I am this now. So when we have this Gen Z issue, the overarching element for them is shattering the values of the past. Let's put it that way. There's a new reality that if I identify as an American brings with it accusations of this or microaggressions of that. So I don't want to be an American. I want to be identified by my own identity individually. There's no more of the corporate business and that we're all Americans. And no, I'm this hyphenated American. I'm this gay American. I'm a lesbian American. I'm a transgender, you know, American. There are no one even add the word American anymore. They're just, I am trans. It's almost as if the entire universe is now part of the soul of the individual. And each universe is so owned and possessed by the individual that anybody who steps on that is committing a heinous crime toward that person. This is why they react the way they do. You have stepped on their complete identity. And so questioning it brings a lot of things and a lot of concerns for the individual. But why is it important to understand radicalism? Well, because radicalism affects your personal identity. And just right away. Who are you as a Christian, let's say? Because there are many Christians who are battling with this as well, Chris. They're battling who they are in Christ. Now, if you are in Christ, okay, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. If you allow your choice of your own creation to sit next to Christ, who claims you're a new creature in him, then you've got a problem with two people on the throne of your life, you and Jesus. That's not a compatible relationship for a Christian. That is not Christianity. That is putting yourself as an idol next to Jesus, who claims you as his own. But if you claim that you didn't, that he made a mistake in creating you the way you were created, and in the classroom you hear, you know, you can be a boy or a girl, or you can dress any way you want because there's a spectrum. And when people looked at you at birth and said you were this or that, they made a mistake, or maybe they guessed. Okay, so it's not really something that's in stone that was assigned to you at birth. Well, you know, when I became a Christian, I wasn't just assigned the title of Christian. I was given the Holy Spirit. I mean, God entrusted himself into my spirit, made me born again, new creature in Christ. If I don't see a new creature in Christ, then I can question whether or not I truly am. Now, here's where it gets sticky for a believer. If you think you're a new creature in Christ, and that also means you can choose your new identity because you're a new creature in Christ, you're confused about the gospel. Here's where I say the church has some serious work to do. In Christian schools, we have to do the work. In public schools, you have to do the work, because those students come to church on Sunday with their families, and they're sitting there, and they have the message of the public school indoctrination in them, and we're not dealing with that from the pulpit. So the process of radicalization can be done, but in order to radicalize, you have to have a radical first. And in order to indoctrinate, you have to have an indoctrinator. So there can be no radicals without indoctrination. And when it comes to radicals in education, we find most often the rhetoric that they use pertains to changing the views of children or bringing about social activism. And they refer to it as education, which it's not. A true education radical wants to improve the system of education to produce better educated critical thinkers that are more literate. The bottom line is what you train for, Chris, you're going to get. So don't be surprised when that's the turnout of low test scores, but equity-based high graduation rates. And I'll just leave it at that for the next question.
Well, actually, we're going to our first commercial break right now, and I'll ask you a question when we return, and I will also give our listeners our email address so that they can join the conversation with their own questions. If you'd like to be a part of today's discussion, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a public school teacher and you'd like to ask a question but don't want to identify yourself, or some other reason that would compel you to remain anonymous. We would honor that. But please, if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
In here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. We are going to receive 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener telling RoyalDiadem.com that they heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It's as simple as that. So if you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, perhaps you want something for Valentine's Day or any other special occasion, or perhaps you're having something custom designed like an engagement ring or like taking your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, denomination logo, or seminary logo and turning it into a piece of jewelry like a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry. So whether you're buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, at least to get the ball rolling on your purchase or customization process, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. So go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with my guest, Ernie Zara, and we are discussing his latest book, which is a book that should be in the hands of every parent and educator in the United States, Understanding Radicalism, How It Affects What's Happening in Education and Its Impact on Students. And also, I want to take this opportunity to announce, as I hinted at earlier, Dr. Zara is the keynote speaker at the next gala fundraising event in Baldwin, Long Island, at the Coral House Catering Hall, which has a lot of fond memories conjure up in my mind when I think of the Coral House, because that's where I began the annual Great Debate Series with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and Roman Catholic apologists. We had them there for the initial three or four, I think, of the debates, and then we outgrew the facility and moved on to other venues. But it's going to be interesting because I haven't been in the Coral House since those debates that started in the 1990s. But my friend Steve Schultz, who I mentioned before, he's the headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York, which is a Christian school, a classical Christian school operated by the church where I was formerly a member before I moved to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. And this gala event is going to be held on Saturday, March 16th, as I said, at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin. And can you tell us, have you nailed down a specific topic you're going to be addressing? I know it's going to be on the general theme of your book, but are you going to be more specific in your presentation at the Coral House that night.
Yes. In fact, Steve and I have talked about this, and we're nailing it down now, where I'll fly in and I'll spend some time in the Christian school, as well as do the keynote address, and then maybe Sunday school on Sunday morning for you back out here to Washington State. So I'm looking at the overall theme here, and I'm doing a lot of research in this area now of cultural voices and Christian choices.
Oh, great. And if anybody wants to attend that fundraising gala, you can either go to the website of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York, which is GCALI.com. That's GCA for Grace Christian Academy, LI for Long Island.com. Or you can call them at area code 516-379-2223, 516-379-2223. And once again, the date of this fundraising gala is Saturday, March 16th. And you can get more details by calling that phone number or visiting that website. And guess what, folks? I am the MC for the evening. Once again, they must have amnesia because they forgot about the nightmare that occurred the last time I was the MC. I'm just kidding. But I was the MC for their last fundraising gala as well, when Pete Hegseth of Fox News was the keynote speaker. And I highly recommend you listen to the archived recording of my interview with Pete Hegseth on the collapse of the American education system. If you go to ironsharpensironradio.com, type in the search engine Hegseth, H-E-G-S-E-T-H, and that interview will come up. But going back to something you said earlier in the beginning of the program, you said that this problem of indoctrination in a negative way, of course, when it comes to the corrupt immorality and Marxist worldview and all these other things, you are saying that this is not exclusively an issue in the government schools, more commonly called public schools here in the United States, anyway.
Right.
One of the reasons that rang as true, even as shocking as that is to hear that, I had a number of interviews with a woman, another guest that my listeners should look up on the archive, Audrey Werner. Audrey Werner is an expert on sex education because she was actually involved in it as an educator for a number of years until she realized how this was dangerous and damaging the minds of the young. And she's also a part of a documentary that I recommend highly called The Mind Polluters, a documentary exposing the dark realities of the intentional grooming of children into a worldview at odds with the Christian faith, rampant with sexuality, homosexuality, transgenderism, normalized through the use of pornographic and pedophilic material. But yes. Audrey said, which at the time, because this is the first time I've heard this, it really shocked me, that even some conservative Christian schools, and I'm not going to mention the denomination because I don't know if they have changed since then, since we had our conversation last, but conservative, more mainline denomination schools, and they have actually incorporated the writings and the ideology of Alfred Kinsey in their sex education programs. And Alfred Kinsey, yeah, a notorious pervert involved in all kinds of sexual depravity, and his experiments even included pedophilia. But if you could, you know, add on to what I just said. I mean, you had mentioned that this is not exclusively a problem in the government schools. So tell us about that.
Right, right. Well, there are two elements to consider here, the bottom up and the top down. Let's go to the bottom up first. Students who come in to Christian colleges or Christian schools from the public sector are bringing with them all of that baggage that they have right from the public sector and from living in the public culture, if you will, and now are going to be expected to have a different mindset or a different type of cultural, debate in their minds. And probably not the first time that's going to happen with them. So you have a group of people coming in that are affecting the bottom, right, going in to the school. And so when you have a mission statement or a vision statement that says you want to reach those students maybe that are lost or just that are just new Christians, and you have this coming into the school, well, the thing that you do is you begin to shift now from the top a little bit. And you begin to rethink, you know, how strict and how tight we are on some of our policies here and beliefs, because we're mission oriented as a school. So what all that's to say, you have to watch how your mission changes when you have a demographical change, if you will, in the schooling. So that's the first thing. The second thing is at the college level and the high school level, of course, you have teachers being trained, professors being trained who call themselves from, I don't know, let's say a professor of English who's a Christian, a professor of anthropology who's a believer, rather than a Christian English professor. And I think I draw a great distinction between the two of those, because you're trained in the secular side and you take a job at a Christian college or a Christian school, you're also bringing all that training with you and all the indoctrination and all the things that you know to the classroom. So you're going to be seeing the very things. Now you've got a contrast. You have a conflict, more so, between what you've learned and how you're supposed to deliver that in the schools. So now, whether it's bottom up or top down, if you have a teacher that comes in to a Christian school and students that are in that Christian school have the same type of mindset or the same type of ideological perspective on something, they're going to have a natural affinity toward that. They're going to be grouped together. And that teacher will begin teaching, you know, and to connect with those students rather than the other students necessarily. I've seen it happen. And so what you get then is that grooming that you talked about. The grooming of ideology takes place before the grooming of anything else takes place. So if you get me and I get you and we're on the same team together and we're becoming closer and closer because I understand you, you understand me, we spend more time together and I'm mentoring you, the grooming begins to take shape in a relationship, and you don't necessarily see it as grooming at the time, but then things change for the worse. And I have written several books on topics of teacher-student relationships and how they cross over the emotional, physical, and, you know, emotional, spiritual boundaries and how to guard against all that. But what you have then is the grooming that takes place, not just sexually, Chris, but also takes place in terms of ideology. Why do you think young children support LGBTQ? And not even having known about that, they come out and say that I'm supportive of my friend who's this or that. Where does that come from? Where do you just suddenly get a child coming home one day and say to his parents, I'm this? Well, it's because of the ideological grooming that takes place. Okay. And again, sex education that Werner's talking about in her book and her experiences, sex education is not sex education. It's sex indoctrination. There's where they want you to think that indoctrination is education. And I argued earlier, but I was real, real positive by saying that indoctrination is not education. They have to be separated. Education is grade level appropriate. Indoctrination is activistic oriented. Education is critical thinking to question why this is this that way. Why is it not that way? Indoctrination does not allow those things. Sex education basically enables that at grade level children to understand their own development as human beings, not outside their level of understanding, but indoctrination forces down on you greater knowledge or larger volumes or images and graphics, things of that nature of students to expose them to things that are outside the range of their understanding, both emotionally and spiritually, and even physically. So if you say sex education to me, and I hear all of these different things about LGBTQ, homosexual lifestyles, and how to wear condoms, and you know, how to come out as transgender, then you're indoctrinating children. That's not educating them. You're exposing them to things, and that's how the ideological grooming takes place that later produces that activist we're talking about. It happens at all the grade levels. You've got, you know, the drag queen story hour. You've got, Glisten and GLAAD come into schools. I'm surprised NAMBLA hasn't made it into the classroom yet as a title of their group, although there are probably some NAMBLA advocates that are in the class that are also part of GLSEN and GLAAD. Those are all gay and lesbian groups that are advocacy groups for children in schools. So they're getting chances to groom ideologically. And, you know, if you convince a child ideologically and then they go to a Christian school, what do you think you're going to get in the classroom at a Christian school? If you get 5 or 6 students from public schools that come in, let's say as 7th graders, what type of education are you going to have to provide for them to indoctrinate or allow them to live in their indoctrinated mindset in a Christian school? Or will you change your Christian school mission to know that you're reaching those people and you want to love them more than correct them? See, today, Gen Z is really not wanting to be corrected. They get offended. They get easily hurt. So you have to be careful how you do the correction. Again, in a Christian school, parents know what they're going to get. They sign covenants, they sign statements, they sign doctrinal statements. Here's what you're going to get. If you don't like it, you take your child out and go somewhere else. In public school, you don't have that luxury. As I said earlier, in the Mar Vista school for Mr. Angel and Miss Angela, there was no opt-out for the parents to hear about the sex education program that allows for transgenderism. Okay? Now, imagine a Christian school that said this. You come into our school, okay, and parents, you're not going to be able to opt out of anything we teach at all. And the parents won't be able to take their child out if it's offensive. Now, there are some Christian schools who teach transgenderism and anti-racism and DEI and are very, very anti-white. And those are mainline denominational schools that have just pretty much sold out to the whole, you know, racial equity and anti-racist Abraham Kendi ideology. So you've got to be careful, right, where indoctrination is taking place. You have to be careful where grooming is taking place. And you have to know, first of all, what is your ideology? What is your Christian worldview? Because it comes down to, is my Christian worldview being compromised by where I'm putting my children? And are they being groomed to another ideology that will walk away? They'll walk away from our faith in the church eventually because they'll question it. And then it was not allowed in the school to be questioned. And they don't like to be questioned at home. So therefore, you know, they're going to pretty much say, yeah, I'm going to cash it in.
By the way, we have to go to our midway break right now. But please don't forget where you left off and we'll pick up right where you left off when we return.
You got it.
And please be patient with us, folks. This is the longer than normal break, but we will be back with Ernie Zara momentarily. Don't go away.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland. Going back to 2005, one of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is currently experiencing a sales crisis. So please, I'm urging you, as many of you as possible, to come to the rescue by going to solid-ground-books.com today and making a book purchase. If you've never purchased from solid-ground-books.com before, please make today your very first purchase, and if you are a regular customer of theirs, make today your largest purchase ever if you can afford to do so. Please keep in mind you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature, dating all the way back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending through the centuries to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently. Purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Ernie Zara, as we continue to discuss his book, Understanding Radicalism, How It Affects What's Happening in Education and Its Impact on Students, I just have some important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way at your local post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it is just a special event that you are promoting, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you to launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And put advertising in the subject line. Also, please remember, folks, I never want any Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners to cut in to the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to give us a financial gift. Please never give your own church less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. Never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you give us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to be using the money with which he has blessed us to provide for our church and our family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and don't want it to disappear. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live, just as I have done with many listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the world. Sometimes I've found churches for them just within a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too, if you are without a church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest, Dr. Ernie Zara, on understanding radicalism. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before I go to any listener questions, and before you pick up where you left off, I have a correction to make. Steve Schultz, the headmaster of Grace Christian Academy, has informed me that the gala, the fundraising gala, where my guest, Dr. Ernie Zara, is the keynote speaker, is not on March 16th. It's on March 15th, which is a Friday. So please mark that on your calendar rather than the first date that I gave you. It's March 15th, which is a Friday, at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island. That will be the fundraising gala for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York. And for more details, you can go to gcali.com. GCALI.com or call them at 516-379-2223. 516-379-2223. Okay, Dr. Ernie, if you could pick up where you left off.
I would be happy to, Chris. Happy to. And what a blessing to have those advertisers and those supporters for your program. Absolutely wonderful.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, I would say, if anybody can support your program, please send any over and above money you have to keep Iron Sharpens Iron on the air. You're an amazing host, and the messaging is just incredibly solid and gospel focused. So thanks, Chris.
Well, thank you.
But I was saying earlier that I wanted to ask a question. Do you think that we have any people today who are walking away from the faith because of the indoctrination that they experienced, the lack of the opportunity for them to ask questions for, their worldview, and just simply not showing up anymore after making a confession or a statement of confession of becoming a believer? And I know it's a loaded question. It's an obvious question. The answer is yes. There's so many people that are claiming to deconstruct and do this and that. Revaluation is a good thing. I mean, I have no problem with reevaluating where you're at as a believer. And then, Parr wrote a book about that just recently in his book, Alan Parr and Misled, which is I recommend if you have a chapter on that in there. And also Set Adrift by Sean McDowell is another good book on that topic. But the question is that the people that are being indoctrinated at schools and colleges today, it's no wonder that, they go away and then they come home and they go back to class and they have vacation and they come home and suddenly things begin to unwind for them in their faith walk. And so I asked the question, why does that happen? Well, they think there's a lot of reasons for that. And one of them, of course, is they're being radicalized and indoctrinated at the place that, you know, they're involved in education. And they bring that to church, and they see that this disconnect between the gospel messaging or the teaching of the Bible, and then they allow the criticism of those truths to set in other locations. And so they don't have a place to take that. You can't do it at the higher education level because you're not permitted to really critically stand up and think and speak out loud, and unless you're on the right side. I mean, look at Harvard. Harvard just came under fire for all their anti-Semitic positions this past couple of weeks. And 95-96% of the people surveyed at Harvard are leftist or liberal. Only 4-5% identify as conservative professors. So, you know, you've got that to work with here, and people wonder, why are they walking away from the faith? They weren't Christians to begin with. I think that's quite dismissive. I think you can be led astray. I think you can be led down a pathway toward destruction. And it's pretty clear, you know, James is pretty clear about this. And other passages in the scripture are pretty clear that we can walk to the edge with someone and save them from the fire. I mean, we've got to be active in that. That's why I say that the fight against radicalization indoctrination today, it has to come from the churches in so many ways, in the church schools, the Christian schools, the classical Christian, the private Christian schools, the solid biblical schools that have a worldview that is in contrast to the secular worldview, and not be afraid to stand up for that, as you are here on this program, standing up for the gospel fearlessly. And I think it's important, very much so, to understand about 5 or 6 different biblical principles here, Chris. And I think that taking the fight against to radicalization and indoctrination, how do you do that best? And parents that are out there are wondering, here is a Christian parent, here's my child, or when a kid goes to a, you know, a Christian university or college, comes back and starts questioning their faith, or somehow now identify as this or that, or is so anti-white because they've been sold a bill of goods about anti-racism and how white is the original sin of all mankind. There are some things here to fight against these things, and I think it's best accomplished with truth. First of all, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the principle states, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Let that sink in, because as a worldview difference, there's a blindness that occurs with unbelievers that believers should not have, so that the unbelievers cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. This is why we need to take the gospel into that darkness, not just retreat from it into our, you know, particular political or ideological safe spaces. Secondly, John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If he's not the truth, I don't think he's the life. I don't think he's the way. He has to be the truth. I mean, he's the only way to the Father. It's a very exclusive message. There is no inclusion message here. All can come. That's the inclusiveness. But you must admit, you must confess that the way to the Father is through Jesus. That is exclusive. So we need to be warned about not being taken captive by an ideology and a view that's counter to that messaging. In Colossians 2:8, you mentioned earlier, in Christ, all these things hold together. He created things. He is the creator of the universe, participant in that with the Father. People are warned about deception, right? And there are those who practice it. But we're not seeing that. We're warning against the fact that they want to advance that deception and control people's minds. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 24, you got to watch out for these false messiahs, right? There are people going to come in my name. You got to be careful. And so there are so many people coming in the names of truth today, your truth, my truth, that is very deceptive. And that's why the identity movement is so pervasive. It's all about the individual and their own truth. We're also cautioned not to be intoxicated on what may be new ideas in 1 Peter 5:8. I mean, we have a devil who's prowling around, right? Prowling, looking for someone to devour. And we have to be careful. Can't be drunk on the newest fad or the newest ism or the newest church model or the latest Christian music that I go to church for. We've got to be careful not to be intoxicated on the new things that come in culture, because new things need to be questioned through the Christian perspective, like every other thing has to with every other culture that exists. Next, I think we should be reminded to guard our hearts and minds. And that's our responsibility. We just can't open our mind and be just so wide open to thoughts and ideas, but we need to take them captive and compare them to the truth of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 are very clear about that. And if we don't compare what we think is true with scriptural truth to get the contrast, then we're indoctrinated. We are doing the same thing to ourselves that's been done to us in the classroom. So we need to make sure that we take these thoughts captive to Christ and we take them and compare them to truth and do critical thinking work there. And lastly, I think as a Christian, we're all warned not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. And how does that happen, Chris? It happens by renewing our minds. How do you renew your mind if you're indoctrinated? You are not renewing your mind. You are being slanted and taught, and you're being led to a position. And the position you're being led to does not prove what the will of God is. It proves what the will of that indoctrinator is. So therefore, we need to prove what the will of God is, and which is good and acceptable and perfect, according to Romans chapter 12. So we can't be conformed to the world. We have to make sure that we take ideas captive compared to truth. We cannot be intoxicated by new ideas. We have to be careful about deception and how people will use that to control other people's minds. And we have to also be aware that ideologies are out there and ensnaring our very own people in the church. And be mindful that we have to undo the snares. We have to let them challenge, you know, we have to challenge those things. We have to question. We have to ask people, well, what do you think about this? How did you come to that conclusion? How do you justify it with the scripture? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ if you are claiming that you have your own identity? These are things, okay, that are occurring. And at any age, we have the God of the age blinding unbelievers. When you're blind to the truth, all you have is yourself, and that is your truth. And that's a very subjective thing where we have an exclusive inclusionary message for those that will come, but exclusive truth in John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the package. You want to come to the Father? Come through him. You're not going to find him through your own identity.
Well, we have some listener questions. We have Jillian in Glen Head, Long Island, New York, who says, isn't a part of the problem that some of this false way of thinking and worldview and ideology can seep into a Christian school because the school may be hiring people who have been licensed and accredited from the public school systems and unconsciously importing things into the Christian school that are of the world and not of God? And I'm assuming that the listener is speaking about more subtle things, because yes, your average evangelical Christian school is not going to tolerate somebody who is teaching kids that they can pick their gender and that they can get hormone blockers and surgery and the other kinds of insanity and satanic things that are more overtly deplorable and dangerous, but there are more subtle things, aren't there, that could be crept in?
Absolutely, yeah. And again, what you train for, don't be surprised when that comes out in your teaching. I mean, that's the fallback. That's all you know as a teacher who's been trained to teach. Those are the things and the methods and the different things that you've heard and the studies you've studied. And those are the things that your ideology has picked up, and now you're in the classroom. I will say this much for the Christian who begins at that point out of college and begins to see how his worldview as a Christian should reshape what he or she has learned in college within the classroom. And it begins to change that paradigm, change those methodologies and instructional strategies, change the subtle, kind of like covert things that are happening, maybe not even by choice, but have some people accountable, right, that you can say, how am I doing? Well, this person as a teacher who's been there a while can say, you don't want to think about changing this and this and this. This is just really not going to fit our Christian worldview or our biblical perspective here. And so having that is really important. This is the reason why you should have buddied up and mentors at the Christian schools today who were people who were maybe retired teachers who were Christians in the Christian school movement for years, who can see what's happening, the culture that's coming to the classroom, and be able to say, look, we need to correct this and this and this, and then here's why we need to do that. And allow the teacher to express, you know, this is what I learned in my teacher training. And then the teacher can say, okay, but here's the biblical perspective on that. There's where you have your mentoring and your professional development right there on the school campus grounds. And you're beginning to shape and disciple that new teacher so that the students aren't going to be affected by what only the teacher has received in his or her training. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does to me. Okay. Well, thank you, Jillian. And guess what? You have won a free copy of the book we are discussing today, Understanding Radicalism, by my guest Ernie Zara. Compliments of the publishers, and it will be shipped out to you. Compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, and that's cvbbs.com, who sponsor the show. They will be shipping it out to you at no cost to you or to us. So please make sure you give us your full mailing address in Glenhead, Long Island, New York. And thanks again to Roman and Littlefield, the publishers of this book and all of Dr. Zara's books, for providing us with a limited copy of free giveaways. Let's see here. We have Stuart, and Stuart is located in a city that I may butcher the pronunciation, Snohomish, Washington, Snohomish. By the way, you're in Washington, aren't you, Ernie?
Yes, I am.
How do you pronounce that?
Snohomish.
Okay, Snohomish. I was right. And the question is, can you be very detailed as far as things that are going on in the government schools that we may be totally oblivious to? Yeah, we've been hearing a lot in the media, unless you are only watching the leftist mainstream media, we've been hearing a lot about transgender things, transgender teachers instructing kids that they can choose their gender and be identified as such with the names that they choose. But what else may be going on?
Well, that opens up a large conversation. I would really like for him to hit me up on Facebook or send me a friend request or check my website, drerniezara.com. I post a lot of things that are happening in schools on a website and on my website, as well as the Education Grandpa. That's what I'm known as on another website, where everything education goes on there. So there's so much happening from up near Snohomish in Bellingham area, Whatcom County, all the way down through Seattle and King County. It's a little bit much more liberal or much more leftist happening there. What you have there is school boards, and here's where I think you can really make a difference. The school boards are chock full of people on the left up in those areas. And if you were to look at the school board minutes, you would find out what they're talking about at each of the school board meetings, or go to the meetings, listen in, or even ask to speak at one of the meetings. You can do that as well. But you're going to find out the trend in sex education. There's where I would think you want to start your sex education program for your school district. They adopt it, they change it, they can modify it. The state of Washington, as you know, has required now for the whole state, public schools, the sex education. And it's kind of crude in some places. And I think that's the best place if you want to get fired up to make a change and bring that to the school board and ask them why they're doing the non-age appropriate sex education exposure rather than focusing on more in mathematics and literature and science. Why is it important to activate children's emotions and feelings about sexuality and gender, and not do so about flowers and rabbits and you know, science and mathematics and all of that? So I would suggest to do that. But if you want really specifics, you can watch go online to any Fox News would do some, MSNBC has some, any major network has articles. Don't just look at the title of the article or the link. click on it, because in the article, it's probably not going to match what the article title is in a lot of cases. But I have a lot of different articles on my website and my blog. I also have videos that I talked about some of these issues from past interviews with Chris and other hosts. I also have the links to all the different things that are happening. A lot of Washington articles. I can point you to some Facebook groups that are specifically Washington oriented. Everything from legislation that's coming out of Olympia for parents' rights, you know, and the bill that would deal with children who make the claim, you know, that their parents don't understand them, and so they can be placed in foster care. But all the little things that are happening like this, and clinics on campus, and on and on and on, I could go. But if you want some information like that, hit me up. I'd be happy to send you to those sites. You can link up, and you can see everything we post every single day, because it is really a cornucopia of issues here in Washington State. And each school district is a bit different, and we're fighting our own battles down here where I am in Pierce County. So keep your eyes open, and I would love to connect up with you. So hit me up, man.
Well, let me ask you a question of my own that's related to that. Are you aware of the data about how universal is it in the United States where it appears to be legal for teachers to privately, without the consent of parents, you know, get the proverbial ball rolling when it comes to changing so-called changing the gender of a child, or even bringing a girl to Planned Parenthood for an abortion, or any of those kinds of things. I mean, are there states where those kinds of things are still illegal for teachers to be involved in without the consent of the parents?
Yeah, I was just reading this morning, 12 to 15, I think it's 12 to 15 states in that range where transgender therapy has been banned. They're not allowed to do the therapy part of that. The conversion therapy, too, has been banned in most states. But some states do allow the counseling and on that. So each state is different. In fact, each state's so different that each school district, conservative or liberal, will push the limits left or right. And so you need to be careful that you don't just take your whole state and say, here's what we're doing to the state. The state has these recommendations and standards, and districts are free to modify some of those. And so the answer to your question, Chris, is yes, it's basically federalized by the popular political winds of the day. And the headlines are that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. But the bottom line is, because I know school districts and I've worked with some school districts and candidates to run for school board. Bottom line is your agenda is what the majority of the people on the school board vote for. And so if you want to restrict some of that, you can find ways around restricting it. You can find ways of informing parents before you have the program. What they do not want you to do, though, in most left-leaning districts is inform parents of what you're doing. Now, that is a large principle, because that opens up the whole door. And here's the deal. What does that tell you if they don't want parents informed about it? It probably tells you that there's a way around it for you if you knew. Okay? And they don't want to deal with that. That would take place. So, yeah, hormone blockers for some school districts, condom distribution in others. Graphic readings of books in school libraries in some districts, not in others. So, you know, you've got to check it out. And so I would say if your child was in a school and you have a question about that, look at the curriculum, look at where the teacher was trained, look at the sex education program, begin with those three things right there. But above all, in my opinion, develop a relationship with your child's teacher. Have a communication relationship on a regular basis that's cordial, supportive, and professional, and yet candid enough to say, you know, I'm not sure the school should be doing this. How do I go about, you know, finding a way to make a correction on this? You may be surprised to find that there are a lot of teachers that will support you but won't say it because there's a risk of losing your job. And so the people are hanging on for dear life to get to retirement. because they know things have changed so much. They just put their heads down. I was talking to just one of my friends just yesterday, and one of my friends said, look, we have a new principal now, but all I'm going to do is put my head down and keep busy. And that pretty much is the mindset these days, except for the activist teachers who get all the attention on campus.
Now, don't you think that, especially when we're talking about Christian parents, they're really, and this is going to sound heartless, perhaps, and it's probably going to sound, how dare Chris Arnson say this when he doesn't even have children of his own? But don't you think Christian parents are really running out of valid excuses not to send their kids either to a private Christian school or to homeschool them? I keep hearing from my friends who send their kids to government schools, hey, you know, we can't afford the high rates of tuitions in Christian schools and stuff. But there is coming, I mean, already there's alarmingly satanic, diabolical, and lunacy things going on. And, you know, how much longer can these kind of things be tolerated before parents just say, we're just going to have to do whatever we can do to homeschool and send our kids to, or send our kids to a place like Grace Christian Academy of Long Island? I mean,
exactly. Yep. Chris, the Seattle public schools have hemorrhaged dozens of thousands of students. They're not going to public school anymore. They're talking about closing schools and blending schools, others into one, because they don't have enough students anymore. And they attribute it to, well, of course, COVID, right? But there's a lot going on up here. The homeschool movement is bursting at the seams. The Christian school movement, Christian schools are growing like crazy up in the state. There's an education revolution about to occur in Washington. We have a new election coming up, another election coming up for the OSPI, the OSPI, the Superintendent of Schools Office, the instruction guy and gal, whoever wins the office there. They have some Christians that are running for that office. And boy, oh boy, they're hoping to really mix it up. So get your school boards going. Get fired up. If you don't like what's happening in public school, get fired up. Get involved. If you're not willing to do that, then get your church to start a Christian school. They're sitting vacant most of the day during the week anyway. Start a Christian school. Begin to do homeschool there. Have a co-op. Then change to a Christian school. Have a blended model. But for heaven's sake, don't allow your children just to come home every day and not debrief what they learned and not know about what they learned by not knowing the curriculum and the teacher that's involved. I put my kids in Christian school for several years in the beginning. I worked in public schools specifically at the same school they were at and had a voice as a teacher at that school. I was not liked by some teachers because I stood up to them. And all the way through high school, when they graduated, I stayed in the schools they were at. If you can do that and you can get tenure and you can stand your ground and you can debrief knowing the teachers that you should pick for your kid, then you're great. I was just lucky enough, fortunate enough to be able to do that because that's the plan that I laid out. Most parents cannot do that. Most parents are at their wits' end about kids that are piercing themselves all over and dyeing their hair and you know, wearing the opposite clothing and feeling like they want to be somebody different. And they wonder, what's happening? Well, what's happening is the identity is not in Christ anymore. The identity is in the world. And if you don't pull out of that, your child's not mature enough to do it on their own. You have to step in. Your kid may not like you for a while, but you've got to step in. I mean, you got to snatch it from the fire. The old days, remember? Well, it's just a boy or a girl. It's that way. When I was a kid, they'll grow out of it. No, they won't. No, they won't. They're going to grow more into it. That's the deception of the last days we're in here. Growing more into perversion. I mean, think about this. Where would you ever have thought you have intellectual people, scholars, and Supreme Court justices cannot identify or define what a woman or a man is, and won't say that men can't get pregnant? When in your life would you have ever imagined intelligent people coming to that conclusion? Something's backwards and upside down in our culture, and it's a demonic deception to think that what is true in scientific is no longer true in scientific. That's the lie, And when children begin to believe that, they'll accept anything that goes along as a corollary to that foundational ideology.
We have to go to our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Ernie Zarah.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Welcome back, folks. I want to remind you, you've been hearing the ads for the Historical Bible Society every day for years. I ask of you to remember that the founder of Historical Bible Society is its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. That is the contact information for the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. And please make sure you mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have Janine in Hollis, Queens, New York, and Janine says, with the anti-Semitic insanity that seems to be rising to an all-new height in this nation and world, has any of that begun to seep into your average public school's curriculum?
to be honest with you, I think it's probably been brought in by a particular individual lesson plan versus curriculum. And I make a difference between that because teachers do have the flexibility to bring some of their own lessons into the mix as long as they are curricular related. For example, if you're doing things like world history and someone wants to bring in a current event about the anti-Semitism that's happening, that would be appropriate in many schools. However, in terms of the bias and all of that, and I was just reading here that I think this question does go to bias in a lot of ways. I was just reading here the elementary education program for our caller from the earlier Western Washington University up in that area. The elementary education professional program centers on anti-bias, anti-racist social justice philosophy and leads to the recommendation to the state of Washington for a teaching certificate in elementary education. In many many courses today and many, shall I say, training programs for teachers, the particular focus and centric point of the program is what I just read. And so now you have teachers coming out of those particular programs, having college campuses afire basically over anti-Semitism, and they're going to be bringing that to the classroom when they graduate, if, you know, if they keep that up. It could be a passing fad in terms of, because of the war that's happening right now. I would hope so. But if not, we're going to see a rise on college campuses and school campuses, and we're going to see people walking out to protest, you know, in favor of one group or another. We're already seeing it in high schools and elementary schools. They just walk out in support of LGBTQ stuff, or even, you know, to support the Palestinian cause or Israeli cause. We're seeing it now. But no real set curriculum yet that's come into the schools that I've seen. I mean, I'm watching for that. Usually there's a year or two lag time for that to be inserted. It'll be at a historical point to be made in history books for sure. That's where I find the bias, depending on who does the writing of those articles or history books.
Well, Janine, you have also won a free copy of the book we have been addressing, Understanding Radicalism. Make sure that you provide for us your full mailing address in Hollis, Queens, New York. I also want to remind any of our listeners, if you are first-time questioners, you've also won a free New American Standard Bible, which will be shipped to you by our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service as well at cvbbs.com. Well, I would really like you to give an overall summary of what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this subject today, Ernie.
Yeah, I would like them to know that the mission of education has changed in this age of radicalization, particularly with Gen Z. And for the parents of students of Gen Z, you're seeing a very, very different group of people come through as young people today. The millennials have grown. They're much more, I'd say, responsible, you know, in terms of having families now. Things are settled down. But when you have a generation that's lopping off body parts and changing their basic genetic structure, if you will, well, maybe not genetic structure, but their physical structure, and they're experimenting with things that are outside the range of their understanding, you're being set up for something much, much greater. And I call this the sacrifice. Gen Z is a sacrificial lamb for the LGBTQ movement, and they're celebrating and applauding those that would move in that direction. And so I would say that you want to be careful, okay, when you send your kid to public school that's teaching the norms of LGBTQ, the norms of identity, and withholding information from parents. That's the most important thing. The bottom line, if I could draw a line right underneath all that and say, if at all possible, sacrifice to put your child in a place that is sympathetic and aligns with your Judeo-Christian worldview of the universe, because you'll be much, much happier knowing your child's coming home, supporting you and your beliefs at home, and not have to change and fight and deliberate over all that. Remember, 7 hours a day per day in a public school, you get them for an hour at nighttime maybe, and it's hard, if almost impossible, to undo the influence. It is cumulative and often exponential year after year after year. My prayers are with you, and if I can be of any help and support, my DrErnieZara.com website is available. Feel free to hit me up through an email on that, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that and move in a direction to give you more support, because we need to stick together. We Christians need to stick together in this age. We are living in precarious times, as I said earlier when we first started the show, Chris, and not going to get better. They're only going to get worse, and we need to support each other through these difficult times.
Amen. And the website, once again, is DrErnieZara.com. Doctor, then that's abbreviated, D-R, ErnieZara.com. Also, don't forget about the Grace Christian Academy of Long Island gala event at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin on Friday, March 15th. And for more details, you can go to the website of Grace Christian Academy, GCALI.com. GCALI.com. And our thanks to Roman and Littlefield Publishers for providing us with the free copies of the book that we've been giving away by Dr. Zara, Roman.com, R-O-W-M-A-N.com. Thank you so much, Ernie, for being such a spectacular guest. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.